Hey guys, Tim here. And is your gym stuck between $8,000 and $25,000 a month and you know that you're capable of doing more? You need to check out the Springboard. Springboard's our new 12-month coaching program designed to help you hit $30,000 a month in stable, recurring revenue. To see how Springboard can help your gym, just visit gymownercoach.com. That's gymownercoach.com for all the details.
Listening to the Built to Grow podcast, delivering the knowledge in all things fitness business. We help gym owners win. Here are your hosts, Tim Lyons and Randy Engston.
All right, welcome back to the Built to Grow podcast. I'm your host, Tim Lyons, joined in studio, as always, across the table, the wooden table that Bjorn built. Randy Engston, what's up, buddy?
How are you doing?
Good. Good. We got a big show today. Lots coming up. Can't release much yet, but we got so many things in the works. We're so pumped on. only some Iron Circle people know about some of
what's
this
going on. Yeah.
But stay tuned for all that coming up. But we got a great show for you today. This is a common issue I see across, and you talk to gym owners every day. Just across the across the world, coaches in and out of gyms, creating the programs, delivering those said programs to the clients while the gym owner sits back and it's like, my coaches are doing the workouts or doing the programming. However, I think there's a huge problem. So if you really take a half step back and you look at what you're delivering to your members, the product that you sell is the training system,
yes.
I guess. What we're trying to do is get somebody a result, right? So they're coming in for the goal of a result, whatever the result is, and your service is the training to get them the result, right? Everybody's clear on that.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the most overlooked things is the actual workouts themselves and the program and the product of the delivery systems of the training.
Yeah.
Gym owners will focus hard and heavy on the equipment they got in the gym, the marketing, the sales, what the coaches are wearing, the music. Give me a couple others. The colors.
Yeah. The brand, everything that the brand involved in the brand. Yeah. The community,
the gear, but the actual physical workouts themselves are often the last thing on the list.
Yeah.
But they should be the first thing on the list, right?
Yep. Yeah. We say it all the time, right? The brand should own the programming.
Correct. So in our world, what we teach, what we believe that you should do, gym owners, is own the programming, own the delivery of the sessions. You do not want your coaches deciding what to train your clients today.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of reasons for that. Let's break it down. Number one, coaches in this industry on average, the last time I checked, IHRSA, now it's HFA, says 12 months, enter and exit the industry.
Yeah.
Okay, what does that mean? So they get their personal training certification, their shiny, fresh, new trainer. They go work for a big box or a training studio. And then 1 year later, they're selling cars.
I was just going to say the same thing. They're car salesmen.
Yeah, they're just not in this. They're not in the industry anymore.
Yeah. Okay. Not even a different location. They're in a different industry.
Yeah.
They're back to bartending.
So if you really think about this, if that's the average, and you've got guys that are 10 years in the business, you've also got coaches that are 2 weeks in the business.
Days.
Right? So days. They get their cert, and they never do anything
with
it.
Yep, that's probably true.
And so here we are as gym owners. We're like, oh, fresh, shiny, new coach. Come on in, train our clients. You train them the way you believe you should. Or follow our template, but decide the modifications. Or, you know, you want to do this before that core block, before this core block, no problem. You're the coach, right? Mm-hmm. And we just hand over the delivery of the product. The most important thing should be number one on the list to a coach who's only going to be there a year.
Yeah.
And then maybe the clients get attracted to this style of coach. Okay. This coach, let's say Bob. Bob's out there training people and he's doing a little extra. He's doing some high fives. Maybe he's shooting a little text after the workout. Great job, Sally, today. We really picked it up. And instead of doing what the other guys across the gym are doing, maybe they, you know, Sally wanted to work on glutes. And so they're just doing heavy glute stuff and Sally loves it. And then Bob decides he's going to, you know, take another job and go work across the street or do a garage gym. And Sally's like, well, Bob's the reason I'm getting results.
Exactly.
Let me just go with Bob. And the gym's like, wait a minute. We marketed this. We paid the coach to train that client. We you know what I mean? We provided the equipment and they're leaving with Bob. What do you mean? Mm-hmm. Right. And it's just so common that we need to take a real hard look at why that's happening.
And it's a real problem. I mean, I had a conversation with a franchise owner last week, not the owner, franchisee, right? And even at that, in his business, he had multiple services. He had a large group component. He had a we'd call it more small group than a semi-private. Mm-hmm. And when we were talking about the programming and the delivery of it, he didn't even know what was happening in the small group. He literally said, oh, well, my coaches are in charge
right.
of that.
Right.
And you want to talk about risk, you want to talk about like lack of control, that is where you're like the whole point of this, like that's where your time and attention should be. Now, one thing that I to make clear, you may have somebody in your business like a program director or a GM that is doing all of the programming for the brand. That's not necessarily the problem, right? It doesn't have to be on the gym owner to do the programming. But to have your coaches all independently doing their own thing, that's where we have a problem.
Big problem.
Big problem.
Yeah. So how do we fix it, right? Like we I think we can all agree the programming and the delivery of the workout should be the top of the list. We all agree that. We all should agree letting your coaches run independently without any oversight is a bad idea.
Yep.
We also would probably agree that the owners of the operation don't need to be the ones actually creating the workouts. So if we can all agree to those three things, what's the fix, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there should be some type of methodology, global methodology that the gym believes in.
And some ethos. Okay?
Whether or not that's high intensity interval training, whether or not that's undulating periodization, strength training, whether or not that's progressive overload, whether or not it's functional training or fixed plane, whether or not it is any of those things.
Yep.
You have a belief, a core value of what you believe is the best way to train your clients. Okay. The whole team needs to be under that umbrella.
Yeah, there you go.
The whole team needs to believe this is what we believe as a team, the best way to get our clients the results that most often they're looking for. Fat loss, strength gain, move better, feel better, whatever it is. Okay, we've all agreed to that. Now, who's going to do the coaching? Who's going to do the programming? Well, it shouldn't be individual coaches. We agree to that. So it needs to be a level up from there.
Yeah.
The gym itself should own the programming. Okay, the gym, so the workouts that are being distributed to the clientele through the coaches are owned by the gym. Okay, stamped, approved by either the owner or the director, or the lead coach. Somebody that has some tenure, hopefully.
Sure, yeah.
Somebody who's going to be there year after year. The product of how you store those workouts needs to be owned by the gym. Google Drive, Dropbox, that's owned by the gym, because we don't want the coaches to take off with all the workouts. Sure. Okay? So imagine a place where growth is the only option and where challenges become opportunities. Welcome to the Iron Circle, the epitome of business acceleration, personal growth, and professional camaraderie. Across the country, from every corner of the fitness industry, business owners just like you have found their tribe.
And when you really think about putting these 30 heads together, there was probably 200-300 years of gym owner experience.
Here, we dream big and execute bigger. Our members speak of breakthroughs, of transformations, of stepping out of their comfort zones to redefine success.
We just had our highest month ever since almost 7 years in business. We're close to $46,000.
We've turned isolation into community, uncertainty into solid action plans, and struggles into growth.
We can attract those prospects, convert them to clients, have them raving about the experience of your services, even referring other clients, all while you're sleeping.
And for you to get the support and the knowledge and the experience to just accelerate up and beyond that, that's the ultimate hack.
Because together, we are more than gym owners. We are visionaries, we are pioneers, we are the Iron Circle.
visit ironcircle.net to apply.
We fixed it here, and this is not a pitch for our software, but like, we have completely fixed all of the things that are, have been the problem for years.
Yeah.
Through Semi-Private Pro. Okay. So all the workouts are in the cloud, right?
Yeah.
They're in the cloud. The physical delivery of the workouts are done via iPads or Android tablets that live on the racks that each coach follows. Now, the coach doesn't get to modify that. It's mm-hmm. there. It's displayed at the level at the rack. Now, the question or always has been this, well, we hire these coaches, they're experts. Shouldn't they have some say in this client's well-being? Sure. The way that we fix that is, instead of letting the coach modify up or down, we have a scoring system that says, hey, Coach A training Sally today, she's got some overhead impingement issues in her overhead press. Let me knock that from a 0 to -2. All of those movement patterns will cascade negatively, and the coach doesn't have to think about it. There's 1,200, 1,800 workouts, the exercises that live in the back end, and it's automatically in real time produces that workout. Great.
Takes it off.
It's still owned by the client or the gym. The coach has some say in it.
Sure.
It's a toggle.
Yep.
And the client never believes it's this coach's thing that they're special at that's giving them the results.
Exactly.
So this, there's no way a coach is going to go create, you know, a software that delivers the workouts like this. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we fixed all of those things, and we wouldn't have done that if we didn't believe in it. Like, it's such a big problem. We had the problem here.
Yeah.
The problem here wasn't necessarily the coaches were just running rampant doing their own thing. It was how we were delivering it to the workouts to the client. It was on a clipboard on a piece of paper that our coaches could not keep up.
Yeah.
And so when I came in and the coaches' heads were in the clipboards, I said we had to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So the experience of the delivery is where my head was at, and we had to fix that. So like, the delivery of your service at your gym not only shouldn't be just ad hoc through the coaches, but like the blocks, the timing, what you do first, second, and third need to be coming from the gym.
Yeah. And you guys took it one step further, because even with you always had the methodology behind it. You always had a systemized program that was being delivered by the coach, but the perception from the client's standpoint was different, right? Because the coach, they never saw it.
There you go.
And that was the big thing, right? You might be
doing it on purpose.
Yeah. We thought it was a good benefit. Until we realized.
Well, explain that.
Well, so, cause I mean, I think it was Ellen that kind of sparked that idea when we were in the office, right? She came in, she's like, I think we did this workout like 3 weeks ago. And Zach's like, yeah, you did. Like, it was that, but that's by intention, not ignorance, right?
Yeah, but this was even before that with the clipboards. This was before that.
As far as
the keeping it hidden.
Well, go into that, cause I'm not picking up
So in the past where we had it on the clipboards.
Yeah.
The coach would read the clipboard, put the clipboard over here so nobody could see it, and then go set up the workout.
Gotcha.
Okay. And we never would let them see what was on that secret piece of paper. Even though there's methodology and it was the programming coming from the gym, now we've got it front and center. It's displayed live to the client. And it's actually done so many extra things we weren't even aware of.
Mm-hmm.
One of those being, I remember this style of work. Okay, so the client can go get the kettlebell for themselves, right?
Sure.
We don't wait for the coach.
Yeah.
It just helps the flow.
Yeah, the flow, the movement. But then even on top of that, like I'm talking about like your methodology posted on the wall.
There you go.
That was a big part because, again, it put the ownership back on the brand or the ownership of the result back on the brand. Because even if you had it on the iPads or the tablets, the coach still has a tablet. Right. And so the client could assume that with those progressions and regressions on the client profile, not the workout, that the coach was responsible for those swaps. But now all of that's hyper clear with the phases and the approach that everything's being done. Again, any way that we can control the narrative.
There you go.
And remove the variables and the perceived value to put that back on the brand, I think is a strong choice. Like, that's the direction you should go.
Yes. As a business. 100%. So the thing that we did here with the lift, like the lifestyle integrated fitness training, the unique mechanism of our methodology, right, is on the wall. On the other side of this wall of the podcast, if you're watching this on YouTube, it's on literally on the back side of this wall. And what we did with that is, guys, is we explain and educated our clientele, like, there is a method here.
Yeah, because we had, because to them it was randomized workouts is you guys doing your programming. No, that's not how you get a result.
Here's what the clients believe is value versus what is value. This is the big disconnect when it comes to the workouts that they do. The client believes completely random workouts, new, fresh, never done this before, equals value, when science says progression in the same movement is where you get the result. Yeah. And there was the disconnect. Well, didn't we just do this last week? Well, yes, we're supposed to do the same movements week after.
Yeah.
That's the sign. So there was a disconnect where the clients felt the value was in completely randomized, new, fresh, never done this before workouts and what's real.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and there was an education gap. I mean, that was a big thing, right? And we had to and this is another part of it, right? You didn't just lob it out. You put it on, like, that's a, 60 by 40 board. Yes. Explains the whole, all the phased approach, explains what each of them do and why. There was emails, there was messaging.
It went podcast.
There was a podcast. Yeah, you talked about the podcast. Yeah, like, it was mass communication around everything, right? The coaches knew they had to be talking about it. The business is doing it through communication. It's visible when they come in. They don't have a choice to not have that level of education, anymore. And that's the big differentiator.
Okay. So correct. And so what we're talking about in this podcast, compared to what I see out in the real world of gyms, we're not even on the same planet, guys.
Oh God.
What I'm seeing out there with gyms is no thought whatsoever about what we've talked about in this podcast today. It's what's the next marketing play to get the client in the door into our workout thing that we're doing. And then it's like no thought goes into the actual delivery of the product. Nothing.
It's a good point. I mean, I think there's a lot of gyms that have like a passive approach to the workout. They will do whatever they think they can sell, as opposed to having like
you have to have some belief methodology of what you as a company believe in. And there's no thought whatsoever here. It's what should I put on my ad?
Yep.
No thought whatsoever about the actual thing that you sell. And that's what this is what's so fascinating to me. This is nuts it's backwards.
It's 100%. Yeah.
And you wouldn't have to all focus here, right? Remember I told you about all the phases of my journey from what I thought focused about at the time to where, you know, how they change.
Yeah, how they change over the years of ownership.
Yeah, sure. And I'm sure there's a show on that. But like now, to me, everything's about retention.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, it was about simplification before. Yeah. This phase before, it was about simplifying, getting rid of all the waste. Now it's about retention, more on the product. And then this journey, obviously, with Joey Coleman, like really sparked this in me. But like, if you really think about it, if we keep clients 6 months longer, you could spend a third of what you spend in marketing, and all that goes to the bottom line.
Yeah.
So for a gym owner, for a business brain, a P&L brain, just put more focus on keeping your clients longer instead of worrying about what the next picture should be on your ad.
And that brings up the other point where, you know, gym after gym after gym have retention problems. And if you're not looking at the product that you're providing and you're worried about just that next marketing campaign, here's your fix right there, right? Work on this, work on the product, make sure you own it. Mm-hmm. With all of the gym owners I speak to, I mean, there's plenty of gym owners that even their coaches don't know what they're doing until they're walking to the floor that day. What do you guys want to work on today?
Yeah. Ooh, don't ever say that.
How bad is that for?
It's a bad look.
Are we not positioning ourselves as the expert? Right. At that point,
when you say that,
at that point, your client is now the expert in their result. Their client owns the client result.
Yeah.
You couldn't be further from the mark when it comes to controlling the ability to keep and retain somebody for the long haul.
Yeah. Jeez.
Scary, man. But we see that constantly.
What do you guys want to work on today? Don't if your coaches say that, you got a major problem.
Some of it's the business model. Some of it's the fact that, you know, you've got a bunch of independent contractors in your business filling shifts, one shift a week to cover, you know, that class or whatever it is. And there's some responsibility in the gym owner. You have to take that control back. I mean, it is yours. And you talk about it. You took all the risk. You put all those all, you know, everything that you have to open up the gym and get things started. Like, this is where you have to put some ownership top down, bar none.
Yep.
I mean, if nothing, if you're not doing anything else there, that's an area that you have to control.
Right. All right, gym owners, listen up. So here's your takeaway message. Take a look at your delivery. Who's doing your workouts? How are you delivering the product on the training floor? How do you keep it consistent? And how do you keep the gym as a top of mind as to the client as the reason they're getting a specific result, good or bad? That's the other side of that is bad.
Sure.
If they're getting bad results, they're going to look at you as the reason for that, and they're going to leave. So, like, make sure your product's damn good. You got a great team, you got great delivery systems, and then keep your damn clients for the long haul, right? Hopefully this helps you guys spin in the wheels, get back in your gym and look inward instead of always looking at marketing.
There you go.
We can fix a lot of problems. All right, that's it for this episode, guys. Hopefully that helped you. Until next time, keep changing lives. We'll see you on the next show. All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Built to Grow podcast. If you want more help growing your business, join our free Facebook group, Profit Accelerator, helping training gyms grow to $30,000 a month and beyond. We'd love to see you there. Go check out the show notes for the link and keep building something great. And we'll see you in the next episode.